Seriously, I am so overjoyed to be here this morning. It's my first time in Marlow for 18 months. So I'm going to dance. Because I've been with you on Zoom, yeah, every week practically, most weeks. But I missed you. I missed the hugs I've been getting this morning. I'm feeling great because I've got a few more to have, obviously. But, you know, in fact, someone suggested, Mr. Fulton, that I should not talk this morning, but maybe just have a hugging ministry. What do you reckon, John? Not a bad call. It's not a bad call, is it? I think, you know, we could do both. Yeah. Phil, the voice of reason coming through. Is that right? Okay. Seriously. And I love where we started. It's so incongruous. You guys are mad having Calypso worship. A less African kind of, or so less Caribbean kind of worship. Looking people I haven't seen. But it did remind me of another song which I've been woken up with in the mornings, early mornings in recent weeks, which is fantastic. Can I just lead a little bit of worship? Because Jesus has turned my lament into a whirling dance. He's ripped up my sad black mourning band. He's clothed me with joy, filled me with song. I can't stop drinking, my God's so strong. The wine is alive, it's Jesus. He's turned my lament into a whirling dance. He's ripped up my sad black mourning band. He's clothed me with joy, filled me with song. I can't stop drinking, my God's so strong. The wine is alive, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. I can't sing, but you know, my heart is full. My heart is full, partly because I'm with you guys, but mostly because Jesus is so special and so wonderful. And I'm glad we're doing a Living Like Jesus series. And I kick it off with Living in the Love of God, because everything that Jesus did and said flowed from knowing that he was the Son of God. Everything he said and did flowed from living in the love of God. I tell you, the best thing in life is to know the love of God. I didn't know that until I was 24 years old, but it's turned my lament into a whirling dance. It's clothed me with joy. I'm sorry, it probably irritates some people. But it's amazing. God's love is amazing. I wish everybody experienced the joy of knowing that love that stretches higher than the heavens. Jesus lived from that place. He lived from that place. And I'm not saying that life is easy, because, you know, life is not easy. Life is flipping hard. And we've been battered and bruised, haven't we, for 18 months. We've been battered and bruised and separated. And it's been tough. People we love, we haven't got to see. It's been tough. And there's a bit of freedom coming now. We're at a wedding yesterday, but we need to be kind to one another in these days. Kind and gracious as we learn to live again. I just want to read a little passage and then say a few quick things. I'm aware that you guys like to keep things prompt. I get a bit carried away. I want to read from Mark's Gospel chapter 3 and from verse 20. At first sight, this might seem a bit of an odd passage to choose for living in the Father's love, but I'll explain why in a sec. It says, then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him. For they said, he's out of his mind. Some of you are saying, yes, he's out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons. So he called them to himself and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. Then his brothers and his mother came standing outside, and they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who's my mother? Or my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him, just as I'm doing right now, and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my God is my brother and my sister and my mother. He said, yes, Colin. Nice little story, but what's that got to do with living in the love of God? This was madness going on. Jesus had crowds following him, crying out for him to do stuff all the time, drive out this demon, heal this sick person, you know, minister. And he was giving himself continually so they didn't have enough time to eat. Can you imagine that? Trees. Can you imagine that, you light of the world, you? Can you imagine that? His family were worried about him. Anybody's family been worried about them joining a cult? Mine has. They think I'm in a cult sometimes. Well, they used to. They don't say that much these days. But they thought he was mad. Jesus, you're mad. And then the religious people, you always get a few religious people sitting with their arms folded, watching what's going on, saying, yeah, this doesn't look like God. Far too much joy. God's serious about sin. You know, he hates sin. You should be condemning the people for all the sinful acts that they're doing, Jesus. No, Jesus was hanging out with the sinners. He wanted to be with them, to rescue them. It's the sick that need a doctor, for goodness sake. You righteous people can look after yourself. they're there and they're saying it's by the devil that he casts out devils. Madness. What a scene. What kept Jesus sane? How was Jesus able to operate with all that madness? I'll tell you how. It was by living in the Father's love. Because we have to know how the story starts. And the story starts, Mark records it, and he doesn't record it haphazardly. He records it intentionally for posterity, for people like you and me. He looked down the ages and thought, what will they need to know? I know what they need to know. This. And in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus goes to gets baptized by John in chapter 1, verse 9. And it says, immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting or being torn open, that gap, that barrier between the presence of God, the heavenly place, and the earthly place being ripped, and the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness where Satan said, if you are the Son of God, blah, 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 if you're the Son of God. Because, you know, Jesus lived from that place. He heard the Father's voice. You are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, that we would hear that voice this morning, guys, spoken over each one of us, because there's a whole host of voices trying to speak to you right now, not just mine. There's a host of voices trying to speak to you and tell you who you are and what you're like and what you can do and what you can't do and what you should do and what you should not do. But there's only one voice that's worth listening to. It's your Father in heaven. We've got to learn to prioritize his voice. Let's hear him say over me, over you, this is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. Honestly, if it doesn't make you weep, you're not hearing it. You're not hearing it. This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. Can you hear him say that? We can't hear it enough. This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. If we were to step out from this room with that voice ringing over us, how might we live? Because there will be other voices telling you that you're mad. Why do you give money to the church? Why do you go on mission? Why do you do kids' work still at your age? There'll be other people telling you you're mad. Colin, you can't take your family to Nepal. Why are you giving up your IT career to go and serve the people of Nepal, for goodness sake? It's ridiculous. You've got a young family to look after. You can't do that. You're mad, Colin. If I listened to those voices, I would never have the adventure. We would never have the adventure. Unfortunately, I listened to my wife. She's much better to listen to, a much better voice than the other voices around me. You have other people telling you you're bad. Jesus, you have the devil. That's how you do the things that you do. You're manipulating people. You're just telling them false lies. They're the voices that would speak to us and tell us who we are, try and stop us from living the vibrant, full, abundant lives that Jesus Christ would have us live, where we go into the dark places with our acts of kindness and love and drive out the darkness. Jesus was doing that so much he couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat, sorry, it says. All those voices around him, he had to prioritize the Father's. We have to prioritize the Father's voice. And there are lots of ways of doing that. You know, we can read our Bibles. That's a great way to hear the Father's voice. We can pray. Prayer is just talking to God. That's a great way of hearing the Father's voice. See, if you do these things with religious duties, it leads nowhere. It just leads to pride. It just leads to arrogance. But if you do it to hear the Father's voice, it's life-giving. Life-giving. I've got some little notes down here, actually, with some truth written on them, which I'll put up on a table, which, you know, you might want to take some of those and stick them on the inside of your kitchen cupboards. So every time you open them, you're presented with a truth which says you're the light of the world. Because that's what Jesus says about you. Or he says, I give you authority to trample all the works of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. That's the truth. That means COVID can't hurt us. That means death can't hurt us. It means separation can't hurt us. It means all things cannot hurt us. It doesn't mean there won't be pain, because there is pain until one day there's going to be no more pain, but it can't hurt us. We just need to remind ourselves of these truths and prioritize the Father's voice. There's one other thing too that we need to do that Jesus did at his baptism, when the heavens were rent open and torn open, and it says the Spirit of God descended and fell. Because we're crazy charismatics, aren't we? Or am I the only one in the room? I don't mind. I'm a crazy charismatic. Come on! There's two of us. We can start a party. Any other crazy charismatics in the room? Come on, there's another one. There's four of us now. Five, six, seven. Come on, there's a fire brewing. We're crazy charismatics. We believe that God loves to live with us. In communion, right now, we started the meeting by saying that God loves to live with each and every one of us. That's his strongest desire. John reminded us, it's God's strongest desire. And Jesus broke open that barrier. It was ripped open at his baptism so that we could all enjoy the kind of communion that Jesus enjoyed with his Father, Holy Spirit. The Godhead having a party in you and me. The joy of the Godhead with us every moment of every day, shopping and cleaning and walking and, yes, showering and doing all kinds of other things. The Godhead with us. Wow. Changes everything. And you see, the Apostle Paul picks up on it later. He says, God has given us the Holy Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us know we're the children of God. He helps us live like children of God, where all things are possible because God is with us. It's not rocket science. But I tell you, there are so many other voices trying to tell you who you are and who you can be that are going to try and limit you. Don't let them limit you, Pierre. Don't let them limit you. You were made for breathtaking heights. Breathtaking heights. With God, all things are possible. I'm breaking off some limitations on you right now, and that the enemy has sought to put on you by his voice. Yeah, he's just sought to bring them subtly, quietly, and then naggingly. But those thoughts are being changed, broken right now. God is releasing new thoughts, new dreams, new hopes. He's going to walk with you into new, broad places. The enemy says that things are closing down, but the Lord says, no, I'm opening things up. I'm broadening things for you, not closing them down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We've got to learn to prioritize the Father's voice and be crazy charismatics. You know, it's a dangerous message to give this to charismatics, crazy charismatics, because they're used to ignoring what people say and just doing the crazy things. Sometimes we should listen to our parents and our relatives and the authorities, and sometimes we should. We need wisdom to know. But it is always good to prioritize the Father's voice and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-off thing. We need to practice, keep on being filled. And we can get the label crazy charismatic and think we've done that. And we forget to lay hands on one another. We forget to bless one another in the name of Jesus and say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I bless you. Receive the gift of God again today, that you might know that he walks in you and with you, that he speaks through you, that you represent him, that you are his ambassadors here on earth. And so I want to finish with two things, just those two things. One, to ask you, to implore you, to beg you to prioritize the Father's voice in these days. How are you prioritizing the Father's voice? What are you doing to hear the Father's voice? Please take some of those bits of paper I printed out. They're useless, really, but the words on them are magnificent. And they put them inside your kitchen cupboards and remind yourself daily who you are and live from that place that God says who you are, not from what the world would say who you are, because the world will try and mold you and shape you and keep you small and ineffective. But God wants to release your light because he says you're the light of the world. So prioritize those words and find ways of prioritizing the voice of God, and he will lead you into abundant life. The world tells you the voice of God will try and narrow you down, tell you what you can't do. My experience is the voice of God opens up all kinds of possibilities for you. That's the truth. So please take those. But lastly, I want us to pray for each other, because we're crazy charismatics. We're a Pentecostal bunch. We believe that God wants to live with us and God is in us. And so, I mean, if you're comfortable with this, please, you know, I don't want anybody to feel like they have to. But please find someone right now and pray for each other. Bless each other in the name of Jesus. But pray for each other to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to know the presence of God afresh in these days, no matter how much they might have seemed to know him in the past. There's more. Paul says the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. Let's pray that we might know it more today, that we might be filled up to the fullness of God. And let's practice Pentecostalism. Let's practice being people of Pentecost, people of the poured out Spirit. I tell you, all things become possible when God is in us and he is in you. Will you do that? Will you practice being crazy charismatics? I know it's a bit dangerous to do, but I want to encourage us to do that. So Father, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us again today, that we would know that we're your children. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to hear your voice, to know that we're your beloved children. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is who we are. Beloved children. Beloved children. Help us to know that, Father. Every heart in this room, God is driving out darkness from hearts right now as we hear those words. Right now, there's a lightness coming where there's been heaviness. Right now, as you hear the Father say, I love you. I've always loved you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's bless one another, please. Be brave. Be a bit foolish. Be sensitive. But let's be minister. Can we do that?